when we think about the most significant aspect or aspects or things that we have to celebrate on Purim, so there are two main things that come to mind. The first is that we're not dead, which is always a good thing, and that's number one. That obviously we were in big trouble, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. That was significant effect of the whole Purim thing, number one. And number two also is that we had a Kabbalah HaTorah at the time. It was a time in which me'avas anes, from the love that was generated from the realization that we had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over us and taking care of us and being there with us and for us the whole time, the Jewish people had a round two Kabbalah HaTorah. They had a second version of Kabbalah HaTorah, one that was, in fact, much more powerful, one that took away the way the Gemara describes it, is that after the first Kabbalah HaTorah, the Jewish people kind of always had an out every time Hashem would get upset at us, because Hashem would say, like, why aren't you keeping the Torah? And we'd say, like, you know, listen, you kind of didn't have a choice. You know, like, you took a mountain and hung it over our heads and said, like, take the Torah or die. So it's kind of one of those offers you can't refuse. So we didn't refuse it. So we took the Torah. Okay. But therefore, we kind of just could always say that, like, we went along with it, but we never fully necessarily accepted it with all of its power. So there was the way that the Gemara describes it as modah rabba lo raisa, that we always kind of had an excuse or an out when Hashem would have a taina, when Hashem would have a claim against us for not keeping the Torah. When this whole nace happened, Klal Yisrael was so inspired by what they saw that they voluntarily re-accepted the Torah. And that became like a much deeper commitment to Torah that took place. Super significant. Both of these things. The being alive, that's very good. And the not, and this extra Kabbalah HaTorah that we took upon ourselves. Two tremendously significant things. What's strange about the way Chazal instituted this this Yom Tov, this mini Yom Tov, is the mitzvos that they made a part of it. When we have Pesach, so main mitzvah, matzah. When we have and ochametz. When we have Sukkos, main mitzvah, sukkah, lulav, esrog, Chanukah, light your menorah, all of those things are mitzvahs that we do. They are between us and Hashem. We are recognizing things that Hashem did for us, and Hashem, or Chazal, depending on whether it's a rabbinic or a biblical type of mitzvah, so Hashem gave us mitzvos that are ways of our expression of different times, different things. So the matzah expresses our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of slavery, making us free, and then we have the sukkah, remembering how Hashem took care of us, the lulav and esrog, our dedication to Him. All of the different mitzvahs have their different meanings and impacts on us, and they're expressing different things. None of those have anything to do with other people. Because the Yom Tov, the Moed, is a time with us and Hashem. And obviously we do, as in general, we just do things as in a communal way. There's always a sense of we are part of a tzibur. So we're always going to have our tefillah b'tzibur. We're always going to be davening with a tzibur. And our laning is going to be b'tzibur. And there are different elements, not the mitzvahs per se, but there are different elements of what we do that involves community and involves others. But it's kind of like a side point that we have the whole, like, if a person is stuck somewhere for Pesach, you can have a totally kosher Pesach. Don't have chametz, have matzah, have a seder, hang around, be by yourself, be with your family, whoever you want to be with. You got the job done. You have a sukkah, you have a lulav and esrog, and it's sukkahs, and you're in the middle of nowhere, you're good. Doesn't the need for other people is not there. Purim is different. Purim, two out of the four mitzvos. So we have Mikra Megillah. Okay, so we have reading the Megillah. Happens to be that when it comes to reading the Megillah, there is a very, very important part or twist within the mitzvah having to do with doing it with a tzibur, if possible, that it is a intrinsic part of the mitzvah of Megillah, that it actually be done with a tzibur. There's a whole Gemara that talks about how if somebody's in the middle of learning, if Kohanim are in the Beis HaMikdash, in the middle of doing the Avodah, drop what you're doing, go to Shul to hear the Megillah. Go to Shul? I don't understand. I'm in the middle of doing... I'm in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, I'm the Kohen who's lighting the menorah, who's doing this, who's doing that. Like, you should drop it and go to Shul. How about I'll do this stuff over here, and then I'll get a couple of guys. You know, there are probably 10 Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll hop a little minion. We'll meet out back, and we'll read the Megillah ourselves. No. Drop it. Go hear the Megillah with a tzibur. Go hear it with a large group. That's a thing. And then we have the mitzvah of Seuda, which technically a person can accomplish that on their own. A person can have more, you know, have a Seuda by themselves. But even that, there's a built-in inyan that it says that mishpacha, that families and that groups and that people should try to not be by themselves if possible, and if that's what you enjoy. If a person likes being by themselves, go for it. But if you enjoy being with other people, then you're supposed to. That's kind of like a goal. Okay, but those are like kind of like side-ish points within those mitzvahs. But mishloach manos, you cannot do this mitzvah unless you have someone else. You need another person to do mishloach manos. You cannot accomplish matonos levyonim, gives to the poor, unless you have someone else. You can't do these things by yourself. So why is it that of all of the Yomim Tovim that we have, all of the holidays that we have and that we celebrate, that this one specifically has these mitzvos that are not just built with like an added bonus of doing it with someone else, that you cannot do it without someone else? It's just not doable. And we don't find that really by other mitzvahs that we have. Certainly by ones that recognize or are, you know, bringing home a certain, event that took place. And as we said, if we have to like think about what happened, I don't know. Hashem saved us. He saved all of us. Okay, great. But Hashem Mitzrayim, he also saved all of us. It's a, you know, the all of us thing that happens all the time. And the idea that we were mekabel the Torah. Also, it's a unifying thing that we're mekabel the Torah. But at the same time, where does the Bein Adam Lechavero aspect of things kick in over here? Why is that such a thing? What's more is that the nature of these mitzvos has a specific purpose. There is a very specific purpose in these mitzvos. There is the Rambam, when he goes through in his Mishneh Torah, he lists the halachos. So, go look over there, big six volume set back there, that he says lots of things. Before every single set of halachos, he describes what's in it. He gives you like a little, it's not really a table of contents because he doesn't say what's in it, but he'll say something to the effect of, this mitzvah, like Pesach, and it has X amount of mitzvos, and he'll tell you whether or not it's d'oraisa, whether it's d'rabanon, whether it counts as the 613, whether it doesn't count toward the 613. Like, you know, he'll tell you, he'll give you like a little fact and figure over there. So there is a section that's called Hilchos Chanukah u'Megillah. That's the section, that's what it's called. And Chanukah and Purim are the two rabbinic holidays that we have, so they're kind of packaged together. And he says, Uvo, and in it, Beis Mitzvos. There are two mitzvos. This is a weird thing. Two altogether. So, Chanukah, one mitzvah. Yes, there's one mitzvah of Chanukah, light the menorah. That's it. That's the only. Anyway, we have other things that we do. Alanisim, that's not. He's talking about one big mitzvah. Purim has four mitzvos. The way that we would think it would be said is that Uvo, Chamesh, hey mitzvos, that there are five mitzvos there. There's menorah, that's for Chanukah, and then Purim should have Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, Seuda. But he doesn't say that. He says, Uvo, there's only two mitzvahs. One is called Chanukah, and one, it seems like it's called Megillah, because it's not even called Hilchos Chanukah Upurim. It's called Hilchos Chanukah Umegillah, which is interesting. And it's not like he leaves out Matanos Avyonim and Mishloach Manos. It's in there. It just, he's not counting it. There is another Rishon who is... It's the Sefer Mitzvahs Hagadol called the Smag. Samach Mem Gimel. People call it the Smag. And written by someone, Rav Moshe Mikutzi. And he lived at the same time. We have in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, we talk about, there's a Kina that's about the burning of all of the Gemaras in France. At a specific time. This was at the time of Rabbeinu Yonah, the time of the Rambam, when there was a whole disputation. The Jews apparently won, but when it's the Jews versus the Christians, it just doesn't matter. And so Jews won, but sometimes that's even worse, I guess. And then they took all of the printed Gemaras, which there were very, very... it was 24 wagon loads of Sfarim. But that's all there were, and they burnt them. And the Smag, this Rav Moshe Mikutzi, he went and he wrote certain commentaries. He's a Rishon. He wrote certain commentaries on the Gemara after that point by heart. He didn't have a Gemara. Like, imagine, you're living in a country and there's not one Gemara to be had. So that's the type of person we're talking about. So he has also a compilation of all of the mitzvahs that exist. And he also writes that the mitzvah of Purim is really one mitzvah. And he says that even though we know that there's Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, Sudo, you know that it's four, but it's one. Because you know what that one mitzvah is? The one mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa. And here's what's interesting. Pirsumei Nisa is a concept we always associate with Chanukah. That's a Chanukah thing. But he says, no, that's Pirsumei Nisa. And throughout the Gemara Megillah, happens to be, there are multiple references to Pirsumei Nisa. And in fact, this concept that I mentioned before of going to hear Megillah in a public setting is written down as, this is how we perform Pirsumei Nisa. That we are mefarsim, that we publicize the nes that took place at the time of Purim. What we're being told is that kind of like there's a big package deal of all the mitzvahs that are, they're all being mefarsim nes. So, reading the Megillah, I get it. There's no bigger Pirsumei Nisa than that. You're telling the whole story of the nes? Perfect. The Seuda, Simcha, why are we happy? Go stop into a Purim Seuda, find out what everybody's happy about. They'll let you know. Pirsumei Nisa, you got it right there. Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, I don't know, if somebody's theme is like, you don't necessarily.
Hungry people can't be happy.
Hungry people can, but I like Shalach Manos, but like I have food. I don't know. Like I'm okay. People have food. Yeah, not every, but Mishloach Manos is just friends. It has nothing to do with poor people. It has to do with just, creating kinship, friendship. And Matanos Avyonim, there is an element of that has to do with tzedakah, but it's not about tzedakah so that people can eat, necessarily has to do with eating that day. It's giving poor people things. So yes, that will make them happy. But guess what? I bet if you give them money today, they'll be happy also. So the happiness and its association with the nes is like, it's kind of loose. So what does this have to do? How do these things show anything about the nes, about the miracle? There is an underlying theme, or there's an underlying idea throughout the Megillah that goes unnoticed often. I'll kick off from like a halachic point over here. A Megillah, right? It looks a lot of bit like the way Torah is written, Megillah is written. It's klaf, has same type of ink, same type of letters. There's a halacha called sirtut, which is that when you have, when you're writing something, so I happen to always write on unlined paper. I just can't deal with the lines. But like, I'm not good at keeping a straight line. So it just, whatever, it just looks like it looks. So on certain things that are written, when it comes to safros, you're actually supposed to take like something like a little thicker, like a little sharp, and etch lines into the klaf, kind of make it like lined, as opposed to other things which don't have that halacha, which do not have that. So some things have it, some things don't. The Megillah has that because it says at the end of the Megillah, Divrei Emes V'Shalom, that the words of the Megillah are words of truth and peace. And the Gemara says, oh, words of truth, so it has to be like Amita Shatar, it has to be like the truth of Torah. The commentaries asks, what does it mean? What does it mean, like the truth of Torah? So Tosva said, like a mezuzah. A mezuzah is the truth of Torah. In what way is it the truth of Torah? Chassam Sofer says a fascinating thing. He says that a mezuzah teaches us something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way he deals with us and sort of connects it to Torah in general. But he says that a mezuzah represents or teaches us what a chesed shel emes is. Now, we always like say chesed shel emes has to do with chas v'shalom, you know, doing taras and kavuras and things like that. But different association. He says that, what is a mezuzah? A mezuzah is something that is outside of our home and it gives us protection. And even the famous story of Unklus Hager, that when Unklus was, who writes the Targum on the Torah, so he was a Roman, and he was from royalty, and he converted to Judaism, and Romans were never happy about people like that, so they kept sending people to go and arrest him. Every time they would come to his house, he would kind of like talk to them and inspire them, and then they would end up converting with him. So came these, you know, it wasn't working out well. So finally, like they said, you got to go and don't talk to him. And then on his way out, he went and he touched the mezuzah. And they couldn't help themselves and they said, what's that? And they said, oh, you know what? Our king, he comes and he stands outside of our homes and he protects us from the outside. And they were just blown away by that. What happens in the regular world is that the king is inside and other people are protecting him. But over here, it's that the king is outside. He lowers himself to be outside to protect us in our homes. And that was so beautiful and inspiring to them that they also came on board. So the idea of what a mezuzah represents is that there is a form of chesed where someone lowers themselves in a way that's not like according to their kavod per se, like the way an outsider would say is their kavod, but they're doing it in order to provide something to someone who needs their help. There's a concept in there's, without getting into the details, if somebody has to go to Gullus, so if somebody by mistake kills somebody else, somebody's climbing up a ladder, ladder breaks, falls down on top of someone else, and kills that person. So that person has to go to an Ir Miklat. They have to run away. Question: what happens if that person is learning? He's somebody who's a yeshiva student. So he has to go and run away, and he's going to leave behind his Rebbe. Gemara says, Talmud Shagala, if a Talmud goes into Galus, Rabo Gala Imo, that his master, his Rebbe, has to go with him. Because in order to provide for someone, who needs it, and again, you know, the circumstances would have to be worked out, but we lower ourselves in order to do something for someone else. That is a chesed, a real chesed, that we learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a backdrop to the story of the Megillah that is so regular to us that we don't think about it in like a real way. We focus a lot on Esther and what she did and what she was willing to sacrifice for Klal Yisrael, and we see chesed written all over that. So she coughs up her life, quite literally, and, you know, it's like every Jewish girl's dream. Hey, how would you like to, you know, intermarry into, you know, some trailer park trash guy and stay there for the rest of your life? Which she did. Like, everybody, like, Purim's over, everybody's having fun in the streets, she's still there. It ain't over for her. It never ended. Her whole life was spent that way. So that's something that she had to do for us, for Klal Yisrael, right? So there's chesed there. But there's something else. There's Mordechai. Mordechai's role in the whole story, how he ends up by the king's palace all the time, how he ends up in Shushan. The Targum on the Megillah tells us that when it says that he, like, took responsibility for Esther, part of the way he took responsibility was, for whatever reason, he had no need to be in Shushan. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. But he left Eretz Yisrael to come to Shushan to take care of Esther. That was a sacrifice that he made. More than that, she goes and she's taken into the palace. And uvechol yom v'yom, every single day, Mordechai is out there checking to see what's going on with her, checking in with her. Not once a week, not once a month, every single day. Probably not much changed every day in the palace, just guessing. It's not like, you know, it's not a world that doesn't have a 24-hour news cycle. So there's not so much change happening. But every single day, he, a person who's a leader of a people, he is a Talmid Chacham, he's a Rebbe, he's in the Sanhedrin, he's got all of these roles. But no. Every single day, he goes to take care of her. Why? Ki ein la av ve'im. She doesn't have a mother or a father. She never met her parents. Father died when her mother was pregnant, and her mother died in childbirth. She's like the most needy, in a sense, of people. And Mordechai went, and he was willing to put out for her in that kind of way, where every single day, there's a powerful Sfas Emes. I'm telling you, it's like I think I've seen this before, but like it hits you, things hit you differently at different times when you see something. He describes the following. He says, it says v'chol yom v'yom, again, like the way the Megillah describes it. Every single day, Mordechai mishalech, that Mordechai was going over there by the palace. And don't forget, the whole idea that he catches Big Son and Seresh in their plot. Why is he there? That's why he's there. So again, the Yeshua, the salvation comes from that. Like Esther realizes something's wrong. Why? Because Mordechai shows up dressed in sackcloth and ashes. If he doesn't show up there, she doesn't know. And the whole process of the Yeshua never happens. So he says, Nira, it would appear, Shekol ha-dvarim ha-niskarim b'megillah ha-kol ha-tzarech ha-nes. Everything that the Megillah is describing, Megillah is not telling us a story. Every single detail that is this, that the Megillah decides to include is teaching us something about what Hashem did. So he says, "Ubavadei ze davar gadol ma'od." This is a huge thing. Shehaya ka'arba v'chamisha shanim. There are four or five years. This is not a story that, like, even though it takes 45 minutes here, it's this is years. This is like over a decade that this whole story transpires over. 4 or 5 years, she's in the palace, and every single day he's coming to the gates. Mordechai hatzadik halach b'chol yom v'yom. He goes every day, liros shloma, to see how she's doing. Ba'avur ki hoisa yisoma, because she was an orphan. Uvitzar hatfisa beves nachri. And the tsar that one must have of being kidnapped or held hostage in a non-Jewish house. It's an unbelievable, like when I saw that line, I was like, oh my gosh. Uvitzchus zeh. And in that schus, zachal l'neis. And it's in that schus that they were zachal to the neis. There is a chesed that's going on here that is just so, just by the way. 4 or 5 years, I mean, at a certain point, wouldn't everybody just get used to it? Wouldn't it just become like regular? He has to go every single day to check how she's doing. And like we said, things don't change much back in the olden days. There's not a lot of things going on. What could go wrong? What could go right? What's news? Not much. But nonetheless, he's going there. Why? Because he can't change the situation, but he recognizes the tsar that she must be in, being in that situation. And he never was desensitized to that, even though you'd think that it just became regular at a certain point. And it's, again, uksiv gamkin, but amra may love yom yom. This was like a daily thing that they were talking about what's going on. That because this happened every single day, because he did this, says the Sfas Emes, that's what zacha lenatzeach is haman harasha. That it was through this that there was the schus to defeat haman harasha. So the idea that there is a chesed that is going on, that the backdrop of the story is about a chesed, that one person is doing for another, something that for sure he could have dished off on somebody else, we imagine. So, yes, there's the secret of who Esther is and nobody's supposed to know. Maybe one person you could have taken into confidence, maybe. Maybe he could have checked on her every other day. After a while, when things got into like a certain rhythm, a certain pattern, maybe. But no. It was that he was so conscious of what she was feeling and what was going on that he had to every single day go check in on her, because that was the chesed that was necessary. And says the Sfas Emes and the Chasam Sofer, that's what pushed the Yeshua. That's what pushed the salvation. Getting back to the mezuzah, the Megillah has to have the same physical properties as a mezuzah. Why? Because just as a mezuzah reflects a certain type of chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being there for us, protecting us from the outside, going out, lowering himself, being put into a position that's not mechubah, we should take a scroll that has Shema on it and just leave it outside, lock it outside our doors? What are we doing? We're taking Hashem or putting him outside with the cat? Chas v'shalom? Like, what's going on? No. What we're doing is, Hashem is saying, this is what I'm doing for you. This, I am going to be in that position for you. And that teaches us a certain element, a certain framework of chesed that has amazing protective abilities for Klal Yisrael. Yetzias Mitzrayim was driven in the same way. Medrash tells us, it says, Nachisa v'chazdecha amzu ga'alta. Right? It's towards the end of Oz Yashir. Nachisa v'chazdecha, says the Medrash, that the Klal Yisrael, all the time, they would get together and they would do gemilas chesed. They would do chesed for one another. Chafetz Chaim talks about this, and he has a sefer called Chomas Hadas, where he talks about the chesed that Klal Yisrael would do for one another in Mitzrayim. And he says that what this drasha is, nechisa v'chasdecha, because of your chesed, amzu ga'alta, that's why I took you out, that's why I redeemed your nation, because of the chesed that was done. Let's think for a second. What kind of chesed do you think? Do you think there was some hotshot guy with a lot of money who was like giving out cash to people? Nobody had anything. Nobody had anything to give anybody. What were they giving each other? You know what they were giving each other? Support, smiles, chizuk. That's what they were giving each other. Because sometimes that's all you have to give. That's what you give to one another. Purim is a time of persume nisa, even though we don't think about it that way, but that's how the Rishonim define it, and that's how the Gemara really defines it. It's a time where we are supposed to be mefarsim anes. And really, if you think about it, we really are being mefarsim anes, because the nes was something that was hidden. So we really are supposed to take the Megillah, which just seems to tell a story, a coincidental story, and say this is not a coincidence. We are showing people there's a nes in here, and we're going to make it public. And we're supposed to be mefarsim as much of the nes as we can get our hands on, as we can wrap our minds around. A driving force behind the nes was this element of chesed. Therefore, how do we express this in our pirsum hanes? So yeah, we read the story. We're besimcha. We have a party, have a seuda with all of the trappings. Go ahead and do that. But also, take care of other people. Build friendship with other people. Why? Because that's what the nes was all about. That's what drove the nes. Nothing is obvious in the Megillah. Everything is kind of behind the curtain. But that's what was going on behind the curtain. So when Chazal went and said, how are we going to capture the full picture of this nes? So we can tell the story, and we can have all the joy, the physical joy, of because there was a physical salvation. We're alive. But we also have this interpersonal things that we have to bring to the fore, because that's what made the nes happen. Klal Yisrael came to a point where they saw the nes. They saw the power of connecting to one another. And when we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we recognize how we're supposed to be unified and caring for one another, well, when you have Yisrael, when you have the Torah, and when you have Kodesh Baruch Hu, and when you have Hashem, that's all one. When that becomes like one unit, there you have Kabbalah Satorah right there. So the Kabbalah Satorah comes me'avas anes. It comes from the love that was generated through that nes. It was a love of Hashem. It was a love of each other. All of that is what drove this Yeshua. It's what drove this salvation. So when we think about, okay, so we have Purim, and we have, and listen, it's supposed to be fun and exciting, and that is never supposed to go away. But there are nuances that we can think about every single year. And I think that, of course, we have all of the regular mitzvahs that we do, the four big mitzvahs, that's really one mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes. But the idea that what drove a salvation was the thinking about the pain that someone else was experiencing when they were in captivity, I think that is so alive for us today. And it's unfortunate, because we do become numb to it. And we don't have to look far to see how the people that are around us, even Jewish people who, you know, claim to love other Jews and love Israel, etc. It's like that's not there anymore. It's like that, you know, people are past it. They're over it. And how could you be? Yeah, go look at the Senate, right? That's what's going on. They're done. No, it's over, right? The world restarted on October 8th. That's what's going on. But what about those people? Where are they? Right? That's not the equation anymore. And listen, you know, the nonsense of the political world around us, it's nonsense. And if there's one thing that Purim teaches us, is that it's all nonsense. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. It's not in control. There's no control over there. But what we do see is that the b'chol yom v'yom, the daily caring, the daily whatever we can do, and we can't help them. Mordechai couldn't do anything for Esther. He couldn't get her out of there. He couldn't spring her. He couldn't. There was no ransom to pay. There was nothing to do. All he could do was tell her that, like, I have no idea why you're there. Hopefully one day we'll find out. Don't know. But you can't leave. And I can't get you out. That was the whole thing. But his caring and his chizuk and his nosi ba'ol and his willingness to just bear that load, bear that burden with her, and to show up each time and show that he cared, that what drove the Yeshua. That's what drove this whole salvation. And as we yearn for more of these Yeshuas, and we yearn for more of these forms of salvation, it's an amazing lesson. Chazal said, we're not just going to ignore that part of the story, but we're going to make 50% of the mitzvahs that are done. So out of four, half of them are going to be Bein Adam L'Chavero. Even though it doesn't seem to be any real big Bein Adam L'Chavero stuff going on. No. There's one big thing going on. And it's this relationship, Mordechai-Esther. It's how he cared for her. It's how she was a Yesoma. How she had no one to rely on. And how he was there for her. Not in just a half-baked way. And no one would have faulted him if he would have missed a day here or there. I mean, he had other responsibilities. In charge of a whole nation. What do you want from the guy? No. B'chol yom v'yom, every single day. That is the chesed that drove this Yeshua. That was the chesed that drove this salvation. And that is, Be'ezras Hashem, the type of attitude that we feel and we form inside of ourselves that will, Be'ezras Hashem, bring about more salvations for Klal Yisrael.